The Pachad Yitzchak in this book, it's speech Lamed Vav, and he says like this: "B'shinui sheben mizmor leDavid leDavid mizmor." We have two types of introductions in Tehillim. You have some chapters that begin with mizmor leDavid, which literally would mean a song composed by David, and other chapters that begin with leDavid mizmor. David sang the following chapter. Amru Chazal, so Chazal tell us, and Rashi quotes it in Tehillim also, LeDavid Mizmor Melamed Sheshalta Alav Shechina V'Achakach Amar Shira. Whenever the parak begins with LeDavid and then Mizmor, it means first he had the Shechina, he was on the Madrega of LeDavid, and only afterwards did the song come out. Mizmor LeDavid Melamed Shamar Shira V'Achakach Sheshalta Alav Shechina. And Chazal tell us that when it says Mizmor LeDavid, it means the Mizmor came first. First he started singing, and out of the singing came out the Shechina, out of the singing came out the Ruach HaKodesh. So sometimes the Ruach HaKodesh inspired the song, and sometimes the song inspired the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the difference between Mizmor LeDavid and the David Mizmor. So this is already says in the Medrash. So the Rav Hutner says, Mikan yesh linmod, sheyesh biyada shel pula chitzonit, leashpia al apnimiyut, im oseh bede'a l'shem kach. So he said, we know a general rule, that what we do externally affects us internally. So that we know. But he says, the question is, why did you do it? If you're doing something externally with the intention that it should affect oneself internally, then it can affect him. Im muchan v'rotze b'ashpazo, if he's willing. They had statistics for about 20, 30 years. They were saying that spanking children causes them to be violent. And then about 10 years ago, they saw that the people who did the research skewed the research on purpose. They'd gone to Harlem and other places, and there they'd start comparing, and then they came up with a statistic. And they saw that it wasn't a mistake. It was purposely. The researchers, the psychologists, wanted to skew the research. So they've shown many times that the clothing that people wear affects who they are and affects how they behave, and that when there's a dress code, it affects the people. They've even started doing this in certain prisons, and they see that it affects the people. The clothing they wear affects how they view themselves and how they behave. So Rav Hutner adds, he says,
the door's open.
Rav Hutner adds, he says, well, if that's your intention and you're willing to have it influence you, then what's external influences the internal. Ve'al yomar ha'adam, and a person shouldn't say, and then he says it in Yiddish, and my Yiddish isn't so good, erholt nisht do be'yotzt. I'm not ready for that level now. David amar shira, ואחר כך שרתה עליו רוח הקודש. You see, David sang. Oh, our violinist walks in as we talk about singing. David sang, and then the Shechina settled on him. נקט דוד באמצעים המביאים לידי שמחה, אף בלי השרת רוח הקודש. You see that David was at a state where he wasn't holding by רוח הקודש, but the song brought it upon him. ואחר כך מתוך הפעולה שורה עליו. And this is something which I think it's relevant to a lot of things. People sometimes say, I don't get along with the roommate, I don't like him. I don't get along with my wife, I don't like her. Chazal always taught us, behave in a certain way and you'll be that way. The Rambam says it in his introduction to Pirkei Avos also. He says the best way to acquire a trait is to behave as though you have it already. Fake it long enough and you'll be it. Fake the smile long enough and you'll be happy. But it really works. We had last year in our series on the Jewish home, Machon Meir, where we'd end each class with a practical tip. We'd say, practically try something. So one class, we said, try to smile. The homework we said for that week was to smile even when you aren't happy. Force yourself to smile. And then we did an experiment. All the guys were told to smile, a fake smile, for 5 minutes. So you had the whole class sitting there like dunces with this big smile on their face for 5 minutes. And everyone agreed that at the end of those 5 minutes, they were happier, they were calmer. It affects a person, even though everyone knew that they didn't mean it when they put the smile on their face. And the same thing, if a person's upset and he talks calmly, so out of talking calmly, he will be calmer. The chitzoniut, what we do externally, affects us. And that's, we live in a world that repeatedly drives the other point home. I'm upset, so I yell. No, you're upset, so talk calmly. You'll talk calmly. You won't be upset. Now, people, the Western culture trains us that let your emotions free. And the Torah trains us, control your emotions, drive your emotions. And one of the ways to do it is to fake it. So we have halacha when it comes to davening. We have halacha when it comes to learning. You have to start with something that will make you happy. And then out of that, you'll be able to learn. The Medrash says that just like the Torah sweet, so too when a person approaches Torah, he should start with something sweet. That's why Rav Moshe was careful to always have a lot of sugar in his coffee in the morning before he started to learn, based on that Medrash. Chazal told us, work externally. There's a... where's the meaning of throwing candies come from? In one place in the Rishonim it says that the minhag used to be that at the end of shul everyone would give a bracha to the chassan or the guy who got a bar mitzvah, and every one of us knows that it's a little hard to be excited with someone else's simcha. Ramchal says that there isn't a person that doesn't feel stung by someone else's wedding. There's an element where it's hard on a person to be happy with someone else, because at that moment that he sees someone else happy, he feels like, but I know what's really not good in my life. I know what's bothering me, and I wish we're different. It could be that he was just fired, or that he wants a raise, or that he was just had a fight at home, or that his children just died. Could be a million things. At the end of the day, we walk around with certain annoyances that are there. And that when it comes to giving someone a bracha or being mishtatef in someone else's simcha, so then our grievances stand in the way of our capacity to really be happy with someone else. So the minhag was that as they'd walk out of shul, the chassan would give a candy to each person. Each person would make a bracha, take the candy into their mouth, suck on for a second, and give him a bracha. For 1 second, when you have a candy, when you have something sweet in your mouth, for 1 second, you're not thinking about your own tzaras. You're thinking about the sweetness of the candy. Coming from that, you could give a bracha. So that's the same concept. That we take something external, we use it to affect us. I tell people that after they've dated for 1 or 2 years, before each date, they should take something they like. A piece of chocolate or something. Take something sweet, because you've been through so many dates that you're already, okay, another one, fine. Who says, what's going to come of it? So no, take something that'll sweeten your approach to it, even if it means it's external. That's what we just read. So David HaMelech also had situations where the Shekhinah didn't come. So be happy. No, I'm not happy. My son Avshalom just rebelled against me. I'm not happy. I just lost 10 wives. How could I be happy? David HaMelech has a lot to cry about. His whole family was murdered. David HaMelech could cry, he could give you a whole list of grievances. His whole life is tragic. So David HaMelech sings. But I don't want to sing. Right, sing anyways. From the singing, so then he could reach a point of Shekhinah.
So if the candies, we should really be eating them instead of throwing is what we shouldn't be doing.
The chassan should get them all given now.
Trying to wives? Trying to wives die?
What?
Trying to
wives die?
Not died, but after they were taken by Avshalom, he never lived with them again. Well, I don't remember the exact number. You got to look over there in the end of Shmuel. I said 10, but I don't remember the number. He had 18, but he didn't lose all 18.
Oh, yeah.
He only lost those that he left behind to watch the house. I think it's a 6, but I have to look inside.
But he wasn't ultimately really happy. Even after he started singing, you can't forget about the dessert.
I think he was.
Mamish took it out of his head.
One of the things we do on Thursday nights in Machon Meir is we begin with learning songs. And I always tell the guys what my father said to us. He said, if you can connect to the song in shul for 1 minute, forget where you are, and just connect with what's being sung, So then you can connect to the tefillah on a level that the rest of the tefillah won't move you. You can daven all day. But sometimes there's a moment where you're not there, you're not in shul anymore. You've connected. And I think that you'll back me on that. He plays violin how many hours on an average day? An hour, two, three, I don't know. Depends on the day. When you get into a song, you could be in a different world. Right? True? And nothing else exists. It's the best meditation. It's true that we live in a generation where we have a very hard time separating ourselves from our troubles. That's why the Rebbe of Piasechna wrote a book on meditation. You know, he wrote a book on how to separate yourself. And the Chachamim of the previous Doros didn't see the need? No. Previous Doros weren't as ingrained in their problems. They had bigger problems than we had. They lost 2 out of 3 kids. I mean, the mortality rate was tremendous.
Everybody lost 2 out of 3.
That's what I'm saying. That was life. But they could live and be happy. But we have smaller problems compared to them. We have Eretz Yisrael. Look at where we are. We have so much blessing. We push a button, we get water. We push a button, we get hot water. We have a hot water urn in the sukkah. We have a fan. We have a light. I mean, you read the poskim, the discussion of what they had to contend with. And we're in Gan Eden. Go describe to someone 150 years ago what life would look like today. You get in this machine, and you have air conditioning on buses. We have everything that they didn't even dream they could have. But we're so spoiled, our problems seem tremendous to us. I think it's part of the fact that we have so much.
It's the opposite.
That why don't we...
The fact that they lost 2 kids, it was accepted already. They almost accepted that that's the norm. But if by us, because there's so few that get lost, and we have someone that's lost, it's a major thing.
Right, but we think it's a major thing when we have a toothache. Right. We think it's a major thing when we have an ingrown toenail. By us, anything's a major thing. Right. But that's a pagam in our door. So I'm saying the Rebbe of Piasechna came and wrote us a book on how to be able to separate ourselves, to elevate ourselves a little bit. Wait a second, there's more to life. And I think a song can really do that if a person is willing to connect to a song. One of the things, I think it was in Chaim Berlin, they used to sing the same song for a half hour. We sing a song once and twice and then we move on. You ever sing a song for a half hour?
Then you start getting it, right. You didn't get it the first 5 minutes.
But you'll say you reach a different point of connection.
I don't think the previous generation could relate that the Jewish people just put 470 murderers on the street today.
Because we're involved in the simcha.
We're the ones.
They're not even thinking about after effect. They think about the simcha right now. They're singing and they're getting into the simcha. Nothing else matters. That's exactly what's...
I'm not following either one.
You didn't follow what
the Rabbi said about a song.
Yeah.
Exactly what happened today. Everyone was chogegim, the return of Gilad Shalit. They were singing and dancing. They forgot totally about what is about to happen, God forbid. Terrorists back on the street who are now to go back to what they were doing. Not even a question. But the fact is, they totally forgot. Put it out of their mind. Exactly what they're doing.
It's the only way you can
live. That's the way they're dealing with it. That's the only way they can live.
Abba, what about these 470 murders you put on the street today? Well, I'd like to tell my son. I said, well, Jews actually did that.
Let's pause for a minute. You read Melachim, you read Josephus, and you see that Jewish kings wiped out whole cities. I mean, as bad as... I'm not saying anything that was done today was good. I'm just saying, in the perspective of time, if you look in the perspective of Jewish history, look what happened in Bayis Sheni. Whole cities were murdered by the Jewish king. So I'm not saying I'm not saying anything positive about what happened today. But again, I think there's a certain... in both directions, we're not balanced. We're a generation that's psychologically imbalanced. Now, who would release terrorists like that, and who would dance and sing, and on both fronts? We take our small problems as big problems, and we take our big problems and we forget about them, and we'll discuss that in Mishlei. I wanted tonight, after we do this, to learn Eishes Chayil, the parak that most Jews say every Friday night. So. Maybe we should learn it. But let's just finish. Amru chazal en ha-shechina shura la mitoch simcha. אם כן, אין הכוונה כשהוא דווקא כבר במצב של שמחה מעניינים אחרים. So, דבר המלך wants שכינה. שכינה only comes when he's בשמחה. Now what happens if life doesn't put him בשמחה? The situation around him doesn't promote שמחה. אלא מתוך פעולות. But David המלך takes action and says, okay, so I'm going to sing. אפילו חיצוניות, even though it's external. But he's doing something external that's to promote the שמחה. כגון אמירת שירה לשם זכייה בהשראת השכינה. כמו שאמרו שם באלישה, קחו לי מנגן. You see, Elisha did the same thing. And from here, the Gemara learns the concept. That when a person sings for the sake of simcha, that's going to get him there. Now, Rashi over there on that Gemara, Rashi says an interesting thing. He says, well, getting the Shechina is a mitzvah. So singing in order to be happy, in order to get the Shechina, is a simcha of a mitzvah. That's like circular reasoning. Right? I'm singing to be happy. I want to be happy to get the Shechina. If I'm singing to be happy to get the Shechina, then my singing is a mitzvah. So now I could be happy with my singing, which is to be happy to get the Shechina, which is a mitzvah. That's what Rashi said. Yeah, right? But Beseder, okay. So Rashi wants to stick in the mitzvah aspect. So what Rav Huttner said here, I think, works according to Pshat the Gemara, but not according to Rashi there, because Rashi doesn't let it suffice with just singing for the sake of Simcha. So what did he say today? He said, we have song that brings Shechina, we have Shechina that brings song. And when David was on the level that he could get the Shechina on his own, okay, so then the song came from the Shechina. When David saw he was not on the level, so then the song brought the Shechina. How does the song bring the Shechina? So he said that teaches us the concept that singing for the sake of attaining Simcha is something that works. And it's legitimate and should be done.
That's a question.
Yeah.
He's saying he's zoche to get the Shechina all the time when he was singing. I'm saying when he would write a psalm, saying, are there psalms that, let's say, that he composed that are not in Tehillim.